receive.
Trying to see how we're going to bring the service, not today, but we still have a number of things, so we're trying to see how we can, you know,
to bring everything together and then work towards how we finish it. Because there are other ones laying there. I read from verse 1, as usual, from verse 15 you can see. And then we, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. First, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which have the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass, and the fountain and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third cardamom, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth atopas, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pairs, every several gates of the one of one pair, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall no in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our heart again. God bless you. We are grateful for another privilege to be here again. In the morning, we were trying to look at, now we are back to the future hope of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. Also, we want to go back to the thoughts that we started with in Sunday school, and that is Jesus Christ will be the light on all. Praise be to God. This is where we stopped, and so we want to continue from there and bring out a few things that the prophet taught us here. 392, the future of hope as a review. The future of hope, 392. The new city and the new heart, the new creation, the city on the hill with the throne in the top of it. Abraham draws illustrations on the board. All right. Sorry, I just want to do something here. Okay. Yes. The throne up here in the top, and the dwellers all up and down on this mountain. All up and down on this mountain. 398. On this throne, on top of it, 1500 miles high, the old world will see the light of the world, Jesus, sitting on the throne on top of the world, top of the church, top of Mount Zion, which is 1500 miles, half size of the United States, and raises from up till you can see him the world over, 1500 miles high. 417. On this throne, look so high, the new city, with the foundations, 12 gates, Jesus, the headstone, the apostles, judging the 12 tribes, the pyramid of no cast no shadow, no time of the day. I have been in Egypt at the pyramids, so geographically fixed, and the dimensions of this great geometric figure, that no matter where the sun is, there is never a shadow around the pyramid. See how it is? And there will never be no night there. Him on top of the mountain floods it with his glory. His glory light will be there all the time. There will be no night there. Jesus the headstone. Now notice, so the redeemed shall walk in the light. We sing now, we walk in the light, the beautiful light. There is something in us calling out. His pass from death unto life is because that's waiting. See? That's what the attitude, what we feel. Truly, are you ready? The prophet said, are you ready? He said, this is the city that Abraham was looking for. See? Being a prophet, he knew that this city was somewhere. And the Bible says so. And he forsook the city he lived. And he went over. Look where he went. Exactly where it will be. See, that's where Abraham went. That's where the city will be. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. See, being a prophet. Jesus gone to prepare with the divine hands a divine city. Divine architect for a divine bottom people. For a predestinated people. He has gone to prepare. Praise be to God. And that the prophet was making some statements here, which in going through that, we see that it is the scripture that is being fulfilled. The explanation that the prophet gives of Jesus being on the throne, and the prophet says in, let's see how we move here. That is in question and answer. In question and answer, we are coming back. In question and answer, 6408, 23 E. I don't know whether that is evening or morning now. It should be in the morning. 237, paragraph 237. Are you there? Yeah, paragraph 237. On top of Mount Zion, we said the lamb. That's the. Okay.
It's clearly over.
The same way. All right. On top of Mount Zion, we set the lamb, and the city will need no light, for the lamb is the light thereof. And above the lamb will be the Father. I want you to watch closely, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light that will shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. He will be on his throne. And the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. And Jesus and the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. And while they are yet speaking, I will answer before they can think I am thinking for them. That's a scripture. Okay, but that's not where we're going. That's right. And Jesus will commit a perfect age to the perfect living God that he has redeemed and given over to the Father. Is that right? We turn to God the Father, which is spirit, not a man, spirit. All nature of goodness gathers together. That is God. And in goodness. And anything perverted from God is evil. That is Satan's kingdom. All good belongs to God. All evil belongs. And then God became material in a man called Jesus Christ, which was the Son. This Son gave his life that he might bring other sons, that God might become tangible, walking in all in all. In that day you will know that I am the Father, the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. That scripture that the prophet is referring to, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where rapport, please can you project it for us, where rapport was speaking about, those who start from verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. That is when he, Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is exempted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's all. That's 28. Are you convinced? That's the scripture that the prophet is referring to. And the Son shall deliver a perfect kingdom to the perfect gods. Are there three gods? Are there two gods? How many gods do we have? And here comes understanding. And it's exactly the way Paul said it, that in this part, where that scripture will come to pass is when the first class city comes here. And Christ takes his place, takes his position. And that's why in Revelation chapter 21, where we're reading, he says, and God and the Lamb are the temple they are in. He does not say temples. Now, he did not say God and Jesus. He said God and the Lamb. And now if you go back to Revelation chapter 4, you will see that here was the one that sat on the throne. It's a mystery of God. Here was one sitting on the throne. Here was the Lamb coming to take the scroll from him that sat on the throne. Is that? Okay, let's read that Revelation. So that we can understand some few things. Revelation chapter 4. Sorry, chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. Because previously in chapter 4, we saw one sitting on the throne. That the Almighty God. Are you with me? This is afternoon. I hope nobody is sleeping. Alright. In chapter 4, there was one sitting on the throne, and all the glory around him was described. But now in chapter 5, the work of redemption is being described here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, nor in heart, neither under the earth, was also able to open the book, neither to look thereof. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereof. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld and knew, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who is that Lamb? Congregation. And who is sitting on the throne? Who is sitting on the throne? The prophet said that's the mystery of redemption. It is that same God on the throne that became flesh. It's that same God on the throne, not second person. That is the work of redemption. That is what, that's what is hidden to the people. That they will not understand that it is the same God that planned the work of redemption. It is him, the same God, that came condescending into flesh. Okay? Jesus Christ was called the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Slain to take the book from the hand of him that stands on the throne. Rabbi told us that one in the Revelation of the Seven Seals. So, by the grace of God, when we are done with this, we'll be going to the Revelation of the Seven Seals. The prophet told us that there are no three gods. What The prophet told us in this future home where we have just read, it's not showing God, it's not showing God above and Jesus down. Showing two persons. No, it's not showing that. Because we are going to look at certain things here. When Jesus Christ was here on the heart, he made us to know that first is birth. The Bible says that in Mary was found in charge of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And the prophet said, Jesus says that God was his father. And the prophet says that it means that the Father and the Holy Ghost is one person. Or hey, Jesus had two fathers. He's one person. Well, this takes revelation. And because there the prophet was talking to a theologian. Well, I say it takes revelation. The prophet was talking to a theologian. And, you know, we are coming there. Let me not go ahead of myself. Let me just continue this.
It is the same God that manifests in the way that he has chosen. He came as the Father. He came as the Son. He came as the Holy Ghost. Just for the work of our redemption.
Principle. All right. Let's when Jesus Christ was here, he was telling us that the Father that dwelt in him was greater than him. Is that?
And the prophet told us that he was talking of this flesh. Of this, because this body will die. But God does not die. That is this body that was talking about. The Father was in him. The grace spirit was in him. When Jesus Christ was on the heart, who was in heaven sitting on the throne? The same God. That was why in John chapter 3, I think verse 13, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he told him, he said, if I tell you of physical things, you do not understand. If I tell you spiritual things, are you going to understand? And he went further, went further, went further. And at the point in verse 13, he told him that, let's look at it as we come back there. Let's just project it. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Not who was in heaven. Are you following that? To show that he, when he was there, is omnipresent. He was still there. Because the great spirit dwelling in him that is that's still on the throne. Controlling the affairs of the world. You see, this is what makes the Muslims to look at us as blasphemers. To feel that Almighty God is the one that came in the flesh, that slept, that was eating, that cried like a baby. They couldn't believe it. They will look for one ridiculous expression to tag on Jesus. Say that he's just a man, he's just a prophet, and that Muhammad is greater than him. Now Jesus, when he was here, was telling us that the Father that was in him was greater than him. He was speaking of the spirit that was in him. And every time he talks about the Father, he talks about the spirit that was in him. That I and my Father, we are one. And he told the disciples at one time when they were asking, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. What did he tell them? He said, are you asking me to show you the Father? If you have seen me, don't you know that you have seen the Father? Because the thing that I do, I'm not the one. It's the Father that dwells in me that does those things. Now you can ask and say, but if Jesus, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the believer, can the believer say that? You don't have the fullness of God in you. It's a part of God that we all have. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But he had the fullness, the entirety of God was in him. And that he had to go away before he sent that spirit. And while he was here, he wasn't sharing that spirit with anybody. That's why he says, it is expedient for you that I go away first. So when I go, then I will send the comforter. So on the day of Pentecost, he sent the comforter, which is his spirit.
that came down, and he distributes all over his sons and his daughters, and he has been doing that ever since, until the last time he will not do it again, to fulfill scripture. There are no three gods. What the prophet is getting us to understand here, we are going to go back there. On the top of, I'm going back to 37. On top of the Mount Zion, we set the Lamb, and the city will not need, we need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And above the Lamb will be the Father. Are you getting me now? Which is the Spirit. The Father is the Spirit. The Logos. Remember when Jesus Christ left this world, he appeared to Peter, Paul. In what form? In form of the pillar of fire. And that Paul saw, that he was able to believe that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. So Jesus, he said, I came from God and I go back to God. So the form he went back to was that pillar of fire. And that what Paul saw, that he told Paul, I am Jesus whom you persecute. The light that Paul saw. And that's why Paul knew that, look, that's why Paul was dazed when he saw the pillar of fire, which he read about, that Moses taught them that this is Jehovah. This is the representation of Jehovah. The way Jehovah is visible among his people. The form in which God can be seen in the spirit form. It is in that pillar of fire. And Paul saw him, and he saw exactly the shape and the way Moses described him. Go and read your Bible. The Bible says he was greatly astonished. He trembled when he saw that. Knowing from the way that, oh, the person that I have been persecuting is the God that I think I will serve. Can you give us Acts chapter 8? We have Paul was converted. Move on. Let me get Susanna myself here. I didn't plan it before. Oh, well. Come to chapter 9 and let me read here. Verse 4. And verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and had a voice saying unto him, so, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? The prophet said he would not have said Lord if he didn't understand that that was God. This Lord here is not just like you see a poor man trying to run after a rich man and say, my Lord. That one will be L, small L, O-R-T. But here is capital L, referring to God. That's what the prophet taught us. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled. And he trembling and astonished. What made him to tremble? Was he not to collect letter from? Did he not collect letter to go to the high priest to go and arrest the disciples of Jesus? He became astonished and trembled, knowing fully well that, oh, the person I thought I was serving is the person that I'm persecuting. Jesus is Jehovah. Ah! The only thing he could say, what will you have me to do? That was all he could say thereafter. Could the song go on? And said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord told him, The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and that's all. He trembled and greatly astonished. And I thank God, the Bible puts this there for an understanding heart to make people query why did they tremble. You know, Jesus was persecuted. And he saw the prophet said he saw that light, that pillar of fire, and he called that pillar of fire and identified himself as Jesus. That was the end of all argument for Paul. That he was resolved. Immediately after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he went to the wilderness to go and study the scroll, he came back preaching the gospel exactly the way the rest of the apostles were preaching. And he was the one that told us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that great is the mystery of godliness. And it's the same Paul that talks what we have just read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 down to 28. The perfect understanding of the Godhead. And that is why the prophet in the sermon, who is this Melchizedek? I mean, come to who is this Melchizedek, paragraph 29. Now let's get right into the service now. Okay? Quickly. Turning now with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews and another revelation of the message. We will speak for just a few moments tonight, the Lord willing. And then, while reading the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 7 to 3, and then commenting on this, and we don't know what the Lord will do. We do not know. The only thing we do is just believe, watch, pray. That's right. And believe that he will make everything work together for good to them that love him. Because he promised to. Then the prophet read the scripture. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed them, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Let's read a little further. Without father, without mother, without descent, neither beginning of days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Think of this great person, of how great this man must be. And now, the question is, who is this man? Melchizedek. He has no beginning of days, neither end of life. He has no father, he has no mother. Melchizedek. Abraham met him, and he gave wine to Abraham. Abraham paid tithe to him. And he has no father, he has no mother, he has no beginning of days, he has no ending of life. The prophet said, who is this person? And the prophet said, whoever he is, he's still alive today. Because he has no ending of life. And the prophet said, it's only God that has eternal life. There is only God that has eternal life. Who is this person? Who is this man? Theologians have had different ideas, but since the opening of the seven seals, you see, and the prophet told us that after the seals were opened, he said the spirit of truth directs us to the world. After the revelation of the seven seals, more truth of God began to unfold. That is why this is future of God will have it. That's why marriage and divorce will have it. That is why so many other things that follow after the revelation of the seven seals. Praise be to God. Since the opening of the seven seals, the mysterious book that has been mysterious to us, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 7, all the mysteries that were written in the book that has been hidden down through the age of the reformers is supposed to be brought out into view by the angel of the last church age. Who is the angel of the last church age? Bless you. How many knows that, right? That's right. Supposed to be brought. All the mysteries of the mysterious book is to be revealed to the Laodicean messenger of that age. Since there is much dispute about this person and this subject, I think it behooves us to break into it, to find out who this is. Now, there are several schools of thought on him. One of the schools are, they claim it's just a myth. He wasn't actually a person. That's a school of thought. If you understand what a school of thought is, that some people that gather together, and they have their own idea, and say, this thing, this is what we believe about it. And then another people gather together and come up with another idea and say, no, this is another school of thought. And then they have another. There's just a myth. It wasn't actually a person. And the other school of thought says that it was a priesthood. That was the Melchizedek priesthood. That's the most likely one. Very close. That was better to that side that they do to the other side. It's because they say it was priesthood. It can't be that. For in the fourth verse, he says it was a person. He said it was a person. Where we have just read. You know, that's why the prophet said we should read further. You know, he said we should read further when we were reading. Alright. It can be that because in the fourth verse, he says he was a person, a man. So in order to be a person, he has to be a personality. A man, not other, not a other, but a person. So he was not just a priesthood or that, neither was he a myth. He was a person. And the person is a tata. If you notice, he had no father, he had no mother, he had no time he ever began. And he had no time he ever ended. And ever who it was is still alive tonight. You see, because the Bible says here that he had neither father nor mother, beginning of this or ending of life. So it will have to be an eternal person. Is that right? An eternal person. So it will only be one person, that is God, because he is the only one that is eternal. God. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, if you like to read that sometime, I would like for you to read it. Now, the thing that I contend is that he was God. Because he is the only person that can be immortal. And now God changing himself into a person. Are you seeing that? God changing himself into a person. That is what he was. No father, no mother, no beginning of life, no ending of days. Now, we find in the scripture that many people teach that three persons in the Godhead. So you cannot have a personality without being a person. It takes a person to be a personality. Every individual, we have our likes. We have our dislikes. Even when they are twins. Twins might like one particular food and the other one might be put off by one thing or the other that the other is interested in. You know, we have a lot of twins among us. And if you want to find out, go and get to them. You know. So, they can be very identical. But when it comes to personality, they are different. One might be fasting, eating, one might be fasting, talking, one might be right-handed, one might be left-handed, one might be whatever, anything that will make them to be personality that you can identify, apart from their physical appearance. You see, a Baptist minister a few weeks ago came up to my house and he said, I'd like to straighten you out on the Godhead sometime when you got time. The Baptist minister. Well, he felt Brabham was wrong. You know, that's why people can be very sincere and but sincerely wrong. You know, people can be very, very. The Brabham said the time of being sincere is not just sincerity, it's revelation. Because you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. But if you pray to God, you are sincere, God will direct you aright. And that is if you are an elect. He came to my house and he said, I want to straighten you up. When you go to outside, call me up rather. Brother said, he called him. I said, I got time right now. Because I want to be straight. And we lay aside everything else to do it. And he came up and he said, Brother, you teach that there is just one God. I said, yes, sir.
He said, "Well, he said, I believe there is one God, but one God in three persons." I said, "Sir, repeat that again." You know, so that God probably can deal with those three people. I said, "Repeat that again." He said, "One God in three persons." I said, "Where did you go to school at?" See, and he told me a Bible college. I said, I could believe that. You cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you are, see, if you understand what we talk about, being a personality, you will know that there cannot be three persons in the Godhead. Because we have different views, different tastes, different interests. We have different things. This one we have desire here, this one we have desire, this one we have desire here. Because they are persons. And we are very grateful to God for the revelation to get to our prophet. There can be three persons. And Pastor Kumuyi of Dipala made you so ridiculous. Three separate, distinct, recognizable personality. He qualified those things. And that made it very, very ridiculous. That disqualified his statement. That qualified him as a theologian. Just like this other family. How can there be three persons? You know the reason why husband and wife have been used, even despite their marriage, is because one is leaning on one side, the other one is leaning on the other side. Until the Holy Ghost comes into both of them and they can see alike. Because the Holy Spirit that makes us to see alike. Even preachers, we can differ in so many things. But if the Holy Spirit can reveal to us, what he reveals to this person, if he reveals it to me, we are going to believe the same thing. That's what the Holy Spirit is giving for. Are you getting me now?
Yeah.
And he said, where the theologians? So I said, I could believe that. You cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You are a separate individual being. And he said, well, the theologians can't even explain that. And you want to explain to somebody else? I said, it is by revelation. He said, I can't accept revelation. I said, then there is no way for God to ever get to you. Because it is hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and is revealed to babes. Revealed. Revelation. Reveal to men such as will accept it. Learn. And I said, there will be no way for God to get to you. You close yourself off from him when you cannot accept revelation. The whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There is no other way to know God, only by revelation. We can read the Bible. We can quote into the Bible. We are only speaking from the intellectual understanding. Until God comes and quickens that word to us, it's not going to benefit us. Then our body will not be subject to that word. But when we become spirit, when God quickens that word into our soul, then that word, our body becomes part of that word. The whole Bible is the revelation of God. Right? There is no other way to know God only by revelation. To whom God will reveal it. To whom song, the song will reveal it. Revelation. Everything is revelation. Not to accept the revelation, then you are just a cold theologian, and there is no hope for you. Now we find out that this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of this or ending of life. It was God and Mophi. Excuse me. It was God and Mophi. And the prophet went further to explain this. Now, the word comes, the Greek word means change. Was used, changing himself. Now, that's not God changing his ways and his heart. Not that. Malachi 3 says, I am God and I change not. But what the prophet is saying that he changes here, you will understand that. He changes himself. I mean, he used the word changing himself, and morphing. From one person, the Greek word there, emophe, means it was taken from the stage act. From the stage act. So it's a technical word by the theater artists that they use.
to explain that one person acting several characters. So he will change his mask. You see? When the Greek word there means it was taken from the stage act, that one person is changing his mask to make him some other character. He can act as a king in this part, and then you see him acting as a slave in this other part, and you can see him as acting as a soldier man in another part. I think the TikTok, I think it's full of that now. One person, you will see the person acting three acts at the same time. He will be talking, he will be responding. And he will be beating another person. How many of you have seen that? Well, excuse me, just a few people. But this is true. When we used to watch theater, we've seen this very, very well. Sometimes you will think that this guy is dead. We had a short time. But another part, you see him acting as a man that is alive, marrying and having children. When were you? But they kill him, he's dead. But later we understood that is an act. Like in a school, just recently I believe Rebecca, just before she graduated, they had one of the Shakespeare's play. And one young man had to change his clothes several times because he played two or three different parts in that drama. You see? And that was because he could act it better than any other person. But the same person, he came out one time, he was the villain, that boy. And when he came out the next, he was another character. And now the Greek word, emophe, means that he changed his mask, not his nature. He changed his mask. And that's what God did. It is the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Emophe, brought out so he could be seen. You see? And now, that same God is the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods, three offices, three acts of one God. The Bible says there is one God, not three. But there is how that they couldn't. You can't get this straightened out and have three gods. You will never sell a Jew that. I will tell you that one who knows better, you know that there is only one God. The Muslims, they have a good understanding that there is only one God. That's a good concept. But who is that God? Is what they are not ready to accept. So now tell you that same God is the one that appeared and came in the flesh called Jesus Christ. They can cut your head for it. And the Jews know that you are just an unbeliever to say there are three gods. Because hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So it's one person. It is just God for the purpose of our redemption. That is why he came in the form that he has come, as the Father standing above, God above us, God with us, God in us. The Father, God above us, God the Son, God with us, the Holy Spirit, God in us. Same God, not that the three different persons. It is God at different dispensations manifesting himself for the work of redemption. And the Bible says there is one God, not three. You will never sell a Jew that. I will tell you that. One who knows better, he knows there is only one God. So let's go back before we close. Let's go back to that part that the prophet was talking about. Please excuse me. Is my throat that is dry? Please, let's have it there. 392. The future of hope. The new city and the new earth, the new creation, the city on the hill with the throne in the top of it, the throne up in the top, and the dwellers all up and down on this mountain, on this throne on top of it.
1500 miles high, the whole world will see the light of the world. Jesus sitting on the throne on top of the world. Top of the church.
Thank you, my brother.
Which is 1500 miles, half size of the United States. And races plump up to you can see him the world over, 1500 miles high. On this throne, look, so high, the new city. With the foundations, 12 gates, Jesus the headstone, the apostles, judging the 12 tribes. The pyramid, is that what I'm reading? Sorry. Oh, sorry, that's not what I'm reading. Is the question. Question COD that I read initially. Sorry, I was just trying to. 3:237. All right. Sorry, I went back. On top of the mountain, on top of Mount Zion, we set the lamb.
Yes.
Just search for that word. If you. On top of Mount Zion, we set the lamb. Search for that, and then you will. And the city will need no light, for the lamb is the light thereof. And above the lamb will be the Father. That lamb is not going to be lamb of this bleating lamb or the lamb that was slaughtered. It's not the physical, it's not the animal lamb that you see. That's the name that Jesus is called. Are you getting me now?
Yeah.
John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, what did he call him? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he was a person standing with the Spirit descending upon him. So, the Lamb, for the Lamb is the light thereof, and above the Lamb will be the Father, the Spirit, which is the Logos, the pillar of fire. That's the Logos. God, the great light, the eternal light, that is, that will shine just above the throne. Will shine above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. He will be on his own throne. Okay? At this time, you'll be on his throne. And the Father will hover over the Son, the Spirit. Jesus Christ, we are going to see him visible. Are you getting me now? We are going to see him as he is, but we shall be like him. The Bible tells us that. 1 John chapter 3. But we do not know how we shall be, but we know that we shall see him as he is. For we shall be like him. And he that has this hope in him, purifying himself, even as he is pure. That's what the scripture says. So, and the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. By that time, the Father above the Son. Remember that Jesus Christ is living in us by his Spirit.
Are you getting me now?
So don't get confused. Jesus Christ is living in us by his Spirit, and he's also there. And that is his Spirit. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That is, he's on his throne. Interceding for us now. Yeah, we have the Spirit in us. And that does not diminish him from what he is. So now God is a mystery. And God can do anything. He could divide himself into several that you will not know that. You'll be looking at him here. He is that light above him, and he's physically going to be there. That light will be there. And physically, we are going to see him. And we'll be worshiping him. And the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear before they call, before they can think, I will think for them. And Jesus will commit a perfect age to the perfect living God that he has redeemed and given over to the Father. Is that right?
Then we turn to God the Father, which is spirit. Not a man. So God is not, God, the Holy Spirit is not a man. He's spirit. But he used the body of Jesus to accomplish redemption. We will always have that body with us. The body called Jesus. That Jesus Christ said is greater, my Father is greater than. That body will be physically with us. But he is God still. Because the Father will be above him. They are not going to be two. He's still one God. That's what I'm driving at. While he was there, he was in heaven. How many gods? One person. No, the prophet told us that God is not like hair that fills every space, ubiquitous. No. The prophet said he has a throne where he sits. And he's going to come down to dwell with us in eternity, in the first class. Then the question you can ask me, what about heaven? What about his throne in heaven? Is that not the question that you ask? That will only come to mind? He still controls the universe. While he was here on the earth, he still controls the universe. It's just a revelation that we need to have of it. That this God is a God that can do anything. Well, this one sounds very deep for us to catch. Deep for us to understand. Let us pray while you can understand it. Not only pray, let us prepare also to see him. So that what Abraham says there, you'll be able to say, now I understand. Let us try to be there. We are ordained to be there. If we are ordained to be there, we'll be there. Because the prophet told us that there is no mansion that is going to be vacant. No mansion will be vacant. And that they will say that the person that is supposed to occupy here cannot make it. There's nothing like that. So every predestinated seed of God, in whose mansion Christ has gone to build, will not miss it. Because Jesus Christ has already paid the redemptive price. He has paid the price. It's just for him to come back and claim his own. And then that's all about it. And while he's doing that, he's preparing the city. He's preparing us also. He has sent the word to us to feed on the word, to hear the word, and the spirit of the word coming into us, then to bring our body subject to that word, then we know that we are going to be there. We will be our help. We will continue with this as God helps us. Let's bow down our heads. On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the glory. Look on its beauty in the morning when I reach the city on the hill. Oh, the city of Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love this thing. City on sister, that is not a theology. It's not a theological teaching. It's not human idea. It's not human opinion. This is God's program. That the prophet of the age has come to make known to us, to steer our heart, to whet our appetite, to make us to be desperate, to know fully well that these promises of Jehovah, they are true. Because we could see scriptures, corroborating scriptures. That city we are talking about will be inhabited one of these days. It will descend on this earth. Sons and daughters of God will troop in there. Are you part of it? Is the question. Is God working on you? Do you believe this Malachi 4 as your absolute? The absolute. The only thing that settles us strive for you. Not your having your own, you know, personal theology, believing some things that the message does not teach, believing something contrary to what the message has taught, what the prophet has taught, what the message is all about. Nobody goes in the rapture outside of this message. Not only being in the message, having to believe everything by revelation, and the same working upon our lives, and we also having witnesses that truly this promise of God is dwelling in my spirit, it's dwelling in my soul. One of these days, brethren, we'll be telling the story how we overcome. Let's ask for more grace of God as this journey continues. To do all that is expected of us, to do all that is necessary. It is certain some people will not be there. But I'm not saying that I'm not there. Only God knows us. Some people won't be there. They will hear about this story. They won't be there. They will only hear with the hearings of the ears. But they will not be there. But that's a reality. I'm not saying here. But it is because it is based on predestination, the calling of God. This thing that we are talking about. We've been able to align our lives up with the message of the hour, living as the word has dictated. There's no other thing that can prepare us for this message that we are talking about, only the message of the hour. If you need more grace of God as the journey continues, will you raise your hand and talk to God on your own? What you want God to do for you? I need your grace in my life. This is not a place to hear about and miss. This is not a place to hear about and miss. It's a place to hear about and then to have a taste of it. As I hand over to the association, the Lord grant your desires.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this afternoon stroke evening service, where the last service of the day. We are grateful unto you for your word that we have heard from the reading of the scriptures to all several quotations of your prophets and scriptures. Lord, we know that the key, Lord, doctrine that the prophet started with is the Godhead. And the prophet told us that This doctrine of Trinity is what is binding all denominations together. And even preach Godhead explained in several scriptures, not to bring this point to us. As many as are yet to understand how God is one and His name one, pray that you give understanding and revelation, but because outside of that revelation, there's no victory that could be gotten. Enlighten everybody's understanding, give us perfect understanding as a message, has been perfectly delivered unto us. Lord, your prophet said in the time of Paul, it was perfectly given and perfectly understood. And he said today, the same thing is to be repeated. It has been perfectly given. Lord, we ask for perfect understanding by everyone. Lord, we pray, dear Jehovah God, that you give us grace, Lord, to constantly meditate upon your word. Gracious Father, after your word has gone forth and the altar call is made, answer all with different requests behind the hands. And it takes only you and you alone that see the heart of man to know the request that individual has. And you have promised us in your word that whatsoever thing we desire, and we ask in prayer, we should believe and receive it, then it shall be ours. We pray for these needs of your children. Thou God who is rich in mercy, may you attend to every need. Grant unto each one as they have desire of Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the faith, Lord, that we have in us to be able to believe your promises concerning our request. May you give to everyone of us. Bless this word into our hearts. Grant unto us grace to day by day, Lord, rise up and be drawn closer to you. Master, in preparation for your coming, your word says that when we shall see you, we shall be like you. Lord, this is the time, preparation time, as your prophet said, to unpack, to unload everything that we have with us that is contrary unto you, to get rid of them. Lord, just like Rebecca was doing when she was going to meet Isaac. Help every one of us, Father. Those that are present today, we thank you for the blessings we have received. Those who listen from online, we believe you have spoken to them and blessed them likewise. Lord, those who travel, we thank you for your protection upon them. Lord, thank you for every vessel you have used today, especially your servant you have just used for this service. We ask for blessing and recall him and deliver the honor of his ministry. Lord, the rest of the vessels you have used today, in different places, in different categories, we ask for your blessings for your people. Lord Jesus, help us not to be tired of serving you. Help us, O God, to know that the reward is waiting for us at the end. For there is nothing that anyone can do for you that you will not get the reward of it. Help us to put in our best. Lord, we just pray, dear Jehovah God, that when you call your children for your reward, none of us will find wanting. Grant it, dear Father. Your servant that is in Bagatari, when he will return to you, take him home safely. And Lord, every one of us very soon will dismiss from this service to return back to our home, from whence we took off in the morning. You are the one that brought us. May you take us home safely. As you commit the week into your hand, we pray that your mercy and your grace will abide with us. May your presence, O God, lead us in every step of this week, dear God. Be with travelers, be with students, be with workers, be with business people. Perfect the health of every sick and afflicted. Grant the needs of each and every one of us. May your mercy stand for us, dear God. Dear Father, we pray to you, O God, for the burial service of your servant on Thursday. We pray for joining mercies, and we also pray for the success of the program. And we pray for the family. After the body is committed to the ground, everyone will go back to their home. It will remain you who will stay with them. May you stand by them. May you meet their needs. May you help them at every junction. Thank you, gracious Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. the service of this week in your hands, we ask for your blessings also. Lord, the servant that traveled to Jebode with his family, may you bring them back safely when they are coming back today. Thank you, gracious Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. God bless you. I think maybe it's not only me that is tired, because even while I was preaching the morning, I see plenty of people who are tired. I saw one brother waking up his wife, and I see other eyes too that were dark. This afternoon, normal. You see people sleep, and may the Lord be our help. Maybe in the afternoon when you, of course, maybe if I'm sad in the morning, I will have to stand. I don't used to sleep in the service, but today, the way my body was this morning, is sleep, it was calling. But I don't used to sleep in the service. But anyway, thank God I'm the one that prays. I don't know what this morning will look like. But this afternoon, after I rested in the afternoon, of course, my eye was 50-50, and I catch every word. Even if I go to the room, not the speakers are there. You don't miss one word. You enjoy every bit of it. The Lord bless you. Brother Oyedepo that went to Jebode with his family, they hope to be back today. So perhaps they will be on the way now. So we trust the Lord will bring them back safely. And refer me to, don't know whether I will pass this way or the other way back. God bless you. Shower us. Let's sing that hymn now as we close. Hymn number 26. I don't know the tune you are playing. On the top of Mount Zion is a city.